Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Tweet Coleman, a former Boeing 727 and 747 pilot with Continental Airlines. She has 22 years working in the FAA and is a published author of Take Your Life Off Autopilot. Tweet received her Doctorate of Aerospace Aviation Education and is currently teaching aviation-related courses and is today's host.
Good afternoon. We're at the air show. Maybe you can hear some of the airplanes above. My name is Tweet Coleman, and I'm one of the hosts for the Florida Aviation Network. We're live, as you can hear, we're live and in the clear here in Central Florida Aerospace Academy at the Aerospace Center for Excellence, and that's at the Sun and Fun Complex here in Lakeland, Florida. This is the 49th year, consecutive year, that they've had the air show, and it's so exciting. There was only one year, and that was in 2020, when the air show was canceled for, we know the reason why. But for 49 years, they've been running, and then we're going to be here until Sunday. So if you're thinking about coming, do come, because it's quite exciting, and I think you'll meet some new friends whenever you come. So with me today is a gal that has done many things in aviation, from a flight instructor, teaching her spouse how to fly. How about that? I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And she's a little different because she's into the sales part of aviation. So it's kind of unique. So Mindy, welcome to our studio.
Thank you.
Mindy Lindenham.
So close. Mindy Lindheim.
Mindy
it's a hard
Lindheim.
One. Yeah. It blame my husband.
German? Is that?
I think
Lindheim?
So.
Yeah. I think Lindheim is German. Well, thanks for being with us today. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Where are you originally from?
I'm from Orlando. That's where I live now. I've moved all over the country for different jobs and things like that. And I'm finally back in Florida. I love Florida. We're back in Orlando where my family is, and
oh, that's
we're so
nice.
Happy.
Yeah, that's always nice to be back with family.
Yeah.
So you went to high school and college in the area?
Yep, all in Orlando.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm. You went graduate of Embry-Riddle?
Yes, which we shared before this that we are both graduates from Embry-Riddle.
Yeah, that's cool.
Me, my husband, and you, we have a whole Eagle alumni
here. Go Eagles!
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so so you were classmates with your husband. They say classmates to soulmates, huh?
Yeah.
So tell us about that experience.
Yeah, we met in college. We actually shared a class together. We never spoke to each other. And then one night at one of the local baseball games, we were both attending with different friend groups, and we recognized each other, like, from class, got to talking, and then we started dating, and now we've been married for, I'm going to do quick math, almost 6 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember whenever you were in AOPA magazine. Tell us about your wonderful wedding, historic wedding, really.
Yes. We got married at the Titusville Air Museum. It's a really, really neat museum that you can go visit, even not for weddings. Uh-huh. But both of our backgrounds are non-aviation. We uh-huh. both had some different paths that led us to becoming a pilot, and he's an air traffic controller. So when we got married, we wanted to do something kind of for our families to show them our new life in aviation, with both families being not in it at all. So we got married in the Warbird Museum. We had awesome planes all around us, all around the ramp. And during our cocktail hour, there was museum volunteers that took people on tours of the museum. So that was something that was really unique.
Oh, wow.
And they all got to learn something while they were there in, like, a really casual, fun way. Drink in hand, go see some airplanes. And it was very unique. We showed up to our reception in an airplane and surprised everybody. So it was the first time, though, that we really got to share aviation with our family.
How neat is that?
Yeah.
Right. And I heard that you had some of the music, like Danger Zone.
Of course. How could you not?
Did you pick out those songs?
Yes. You have to. I mean, that would be a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
Real good. So you both graduated from Embry-Riddle, and he went on the track of air traffic controller.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So I understand he's working now in TRACON, is that?
Yes, he's Orlando Approach. So if you get put in a hold that you don't like, you can blame him. I blame him.
Yeah, I know somebody.
Yeah.
And so And he did that undergrad as well through the Embry-Riddle Air Traffic Control. Yeah.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Okay, good. And then you chose to be the aviator of the family.
Yeah, yeah. So I majored in aeronautics, and the only thing I knew coming from a non-aviation family was becoming an airline pilot. And it wasn't until I took a class at Embry-Riddle that was a class about corporate aviation. And my professor, she was awesome, and she talked about her career flying at NASCAR and all these really neat things. And I just thought that was the coolest thing I've ever heard. I've never heard anyone speak about that. So that really led me into that maybe there's other options. Mm-hmm. So I continued to get my ratings. I became a flight instructor. And then I, you know, through networking, you hear that all the time in aviation, networking is everything. And it's so true. I was meeting with a group of people that brought in manufacturer reps. And they were speaking about selling airplanes and flying the brand new planes to clients and showing them this airplane and then hopefully selling it to them. And I was just immediately hooked on that idea. And so that's what I did. I went on to work for Textron Aviation and sold new airplanes for them, became a factory demo pilot. And I fell in love with sales, which I also didn't know I loved that. So I've had a kind of crazy path that I had no idea I would take.
Wow. So did you do training for sales, or did they teach you how? How did you get into the whole area?
They taught, and a lot like aviation, it's really nice to have a mentor.
Oh,
so there was a few coworkers at the company that had sales experience that kind of became my mentor in the space, and that was probably the best way to learn sales. And mm-hmm. then after that, it's experience, right? Mm-hmm. Getting out there and trying different things and reading books and things like that. But yeah, I didn't have an official sales background. That was my mm-hmm. first stab at sales, and I just kind of fell into it. And the lucky thing with aviation is you're selling to pilots. And if you're a pilot, how easy is it? You know, we don't know each other. We can easily talk all day because we're pilots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So how many years have you been in sales?
I've been selling for a little over 6 years now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's say I'm a new customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I approach you and say, I don't know what kind of airplane I want, but I want an airplane. So
yeah.
How do you narrow that down? It's like
The first thing is your mission. We would talk about what do you want to use the airplane for?
Okay, gotcha.
And who's flying with you? What type of ratings do you have or hope to achieve?
Uh-huh.
Maybe you're a private pilot now, but you plan to get your instrument rating. So then we want to get a plane that's equipped for that for you to do your training in or for you to fly IFR in the future. And maybe it's you and your two kids and a dog. So we need to start looking at some bigger airplanes. Where do you live? You know, do you live in Colorado and need a turbocharger? There's so many mm-hmm. things that you can pull out of people mm-hmm. in a quick 5 or 10 minute conversation that will narrow you in already to 2 or 3 airplanes. So defining the mission is the very first step.
Do people usually come prepared to know exactly what they want, or do you more or less have to draw it out like we're doing now?
Great question. Usually they come prepared because we're pilots, right? Pilots are the most prepared people I've ever met. You know, I remember a professor in college one time said, you know, the pilots are the type of people that when you're approaching the toll booth on the highway already have their change out miles before. They're not the person that gets there and is fumbling in, looking, they're always ahead of the game and doing research and stuff just by nature of the personality of a pilot.
Mm-hmm. Now, have your customers changed in 6 years? Like, are more women getting involved in buying an airplane or having the final decision, would you say?
A lot of times women are involved. Mm-hmm. They definitely want to feel comfortable in the airplane. As no surprise, a lot of the women are not the pilots that mm-hmm. I'm selling to. But they like to be involved, like I said, and go on the test flights, on the demo flights, make sure that they're going to have a comfortable experience with it. And I have gotten the opportunity to sell to one woman pilot so far. That was a major milestone. I hope to get a lot more of them. So if you want to buy an airplane, we can stay after.
Okay. You want to loan me money? We'll sit.
We also have a finance company.
Oh, yeah. You have all the answers, don't you? What a great salesperson you are. Yeah. Now, do you ever sell them or talk to them about the pinch hitters course? Or
yeah, I always encourage spouses to take some sort of training, even if it's not a formal course. Like what you're speaking about mm-hmm. is taking a course with a flight instructor if you're a spouse and go up and learn the basics of, you know, radios and how to take off and land or just like get a little bit of the feeling for that. But I always encourage them, just go up with whatever flight instructor you guys have locally and tell them what your goal is. Like, hey, I just want to go up. I want to know how to tune in the radios. That way, when my husband or wife is flying, I can help out and be involved. Mm-hmm. So that's what a lot of my customers do, is take them up with a flight instructor and just kind of learn those basics. And that also helps people feel a lot more comfortable in the airplane. I find that a lot of the spouses that are scared to fly or feeling a little bit anxious or nervous, it's because of the unknown. They don't know what's going on. They hear a bell or a whistle or a chime and immediately think the worst is happening, but really it's probably something good that's happening, you know, a check just passed or something when you start up the airplane. So it's really good to get your spouse educated about aviation. That way they can be comfortable and potentially be a really good co-pilot.
As a flight instructor, for an average person, how much time do you think it would take to make a spouse feel comfortable, or a friend or partner or whatever?
Formally training with a flight instructor, I would say just a flight or two.
Okay.
Because if they're not interested in learning to fly, that's going to fizzle out really quickly. So you don't really want to pressure them into getting all this training, because if they don't want it, that's going to be difficult and it might turn them off. But they're going to learn a lot by flying with you, you know, going on a cross country. And even if you're not a flight instructor, you can teach your spouse some things and how to dial in radios. You can do a lot of that yourself. And just over time flying with them, they're just going to naturally get more comfortable. But like I said, that comes with being able to articulate what you're doing. You know, this is the flaps I'm putting them in because we need to slow down to come into land. Just talking out loud to yourself will educate your passengers so much, even if you're not teaching them.
Right. How about helping them, helping you with the navigation, with the iPad?
And yeah. A lot of my customers' spouses love to do that. One of my customers, his wife, they frequent from Atlanta to Charleston, and she knows every frequency they talk to on the way. She has her list, and whenever they check in, she has the next one. She already knows it before the controller tells them, and she gets it put in, and that gives her something to do the whole time to feel helpful and kind of take her mind off of flying. So that's been really effective with them.
Okay, great. When you're selling to a customer, do you talk on the ground for a half hour, hour, or do you say, let's go jump in an airplane and fly? What's your procedure?
Yes, well, leading up to a demo flight or a test flight or something, we've obviously spoken at length about the airplane and stuff previously on the phone or maybe some in-person meetings. But whenever I show up to the airport with the airplane for the first time, we do a really detailed walk around. Not really a pre-flight, because I would have already done that myself as the pilot. And I also recommend people to do a pre-flight on their own, not with the customer, because it's easy to miss stuff. Mm-hmm. You're trying to sell an airplane. You're trying to speak about features. It's so easy to overlook something. So for safety, pre-flight on your own, then you do a walk around. And that's going around and you check out the landing lights, they're LED, and now we're at the power plant. This has an IO550 with 300 horsepower, whatever it may be, and just kind of pointing out all the key features and then sprinkling in why that's a great thing for this airplane. So this beefy engine is awesome for climbing with you and your four people. It's going to be able to hold this many feet per minute. And it's going to be really great for you guys to get out to the mountains because it has a turbocharger, you know, just throwing in those reasons of why is this airplane here for you and relating it to your own personal story.
Mm-hmm. So really being a good listener in that intake meeting so you can feed that back to them is essential, huh?
Exactly. That's the key.
Wow. Good, good. I understand that you have a lot of good information for people that might be a bit nervous in flying.
Yeah. So I did a live call with E3 Aviation Association on this topic.
They were here, yeah.
Yes, they are the title sponsor here at Sun and Fun, so be sure to check them out if you guys are here. But I spoke to their members about this topic, about flying with new or nervous passengers, because I've encountered that so much through sales, with spouses, family members, their kids, things like that. So I, over time, have kind of created this list of tips and tricks that I use in my own personal life. I own a Cessna 182, and one of the most rewarding things as a pilot and aircraft owner is taking new people up to fly and sharing this amazing thing. Like, for example, my family, who's new to aviation. But I can see how someone new could be really anxious getting in. So one of the tips is exactly what I just shared, doing pre-flight on your own. Taking someone that's new or nervous takes up a lot of your brain space and capacity. So as much as you can prepare before they show up and get there early is key to the safety of the flight. That way you can focus on their comfort of the flight once they show up.
Mm-hmm. And so what if they're in the airplane and then you kind of look at them and you see that they're a little nervous in the airplane? Are there some tips and tricks, as you say?
Yes, and it almost all comes back to the sales stuff. Same thing is talking to them the whole time. Mm. And obviously you need to be focused, again, on the safety of the flight and doing what you're doing. But when there's moments that you feel comfortable, hey, look outside. Do you recognize that lake? That's the lake that you always go boating on. Or, hey, we're over your house right now and we're going to fly over to the beach and let's look in the water and look for sharks. Like, just kind of create a fun adventure out of it. That way it feels like they're a part of it and, like, we're in full control. And then articulating everything you do. The biggest tip I give is saying out loud what you are doing, which is hard for people to do at first. Flight instructors are great at it because they've been through that training. But if you're a private pilot, it can be harder to talk out loud while you're doing it. So practice it even while you're by yourself. You know, I'm adding in power, going to takeoff. I'm looking on the left part of my screen for 55 knots. I'm going to pull back slowly. Now we're off the ground. I'm going to hit the brakes. And especially articulating things that make noise changes. Noises are the biggest thing that makes people stressed. And for example, when you are in the pattern coming into land with someone who looks nervous, before you pull the power back, because you pull power back, and at least in a piston plane, significantly when you're beam the numbers, before you do that, saying, hey, you're about to hear a big change in power. That's me. And this is what's happening. We have to slow down to land. I've done that a time or two before I realized I used to own a sport cub. And in the sport cub, it's really common to go full idle. And then it gets really quiet. And if you don't say something, you see people perk up right away and clench like, oh, no, that was just me. And so that's how I learned that was from that plane. But it really helps in any plane with big power changes and stuff like that.
So to speak every movement you're going to do.
Yeah, it makes you a better pilot, too, honestly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. If they have a couple of kids, do you say bring the kids on a demo flight or do you have them stay home with the babysitter?
I try to get them to stay home. I like the kids to come maybe at the end of the flight to see how they sit in the plane and let them look around it and be involved as well. But it's hard to tell, you know, with kids that you never met before and you want to be a safe and efficient pilot. There's kids of all different ranges of excitement level, I'll say, of getting in the airplane. So to let the parent, too, focus on the demo flight, I like to leave the kids behind, let them come at the end. And if their demeanor is good and you think it's a good idea to go just for a lap around the patch with them, then that's great. But a tip I give for people with kids, not even in the sales world, is go have the parent go fly first to see, first of all, is this pilot, do I trust them to take my kids up? And that way they can explain to their kids what to expect. Hey, like when we go up, it's going to feel like this. I need you to be really quiet. Like the parent needs to give the talk to the kid, but they won't know unless they've flown in a small plane before. So with my friends that are new, I take the parent up first. And then if you think it's appropriate to bring your kids, please do. And they can set those expectations.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Hey, tell us a little bit about your airplane, Mojo.
Yes, Mojo is my airplane. It's a vintage 1957 Cessna 182. Me and my husband bought that about a year and a half ago. And we've been slowly, I want to say restoring it, but it was in flying condition when we bought it. But we're slowly customizing it, I'll say, to something that really fits our needs. So it's a bare aluminum plane with just little paint striping. We polished it all up, making it look beautiful. We've cleaned up the interior a little bit, but it has the original interior, which is in great shape. We did a full panel with new Garmin avionics in it. We had a wonderful shop, Gardner Lowe, that's in Atlanta, Georgia, that installed a beautiful panel and autopilot and all these things that allow us to fly our airplane more. Because prior, it was a VFR plane. We weren't able to fly IFR in it, so now we have more flying days. And being young professionals, our schedules are tight. So if we didn't have the ability to go fly IFR, our airplane would be a hangar queen. We would hardly be able to use it. So it's really opened up so much adventure for us to be able to customize our panel now.
Are you going to use it recreationally, or will you do some CFI work in it, do you think? Or?
It's a little bit of everything. So I mainly use it for recreational, so we go different adventures. We love to go seek out places to visit and hikes and boating and fishing. So we use it a lot for that, for our weekend warrior projects. But then I also use it for business. So I use it to fly to go visit a client or go take a meeting or go meet with a flight school or something like that. So I do use it for business a lot.
So kind of cool to come up there with your own vintage
airplane.
It feels
good. It feels really good.
Yeah. People say, I want to jump on that boat. Yeah. Well, great, great. Tell us a little bit about where is Lone Mountain, if anybody wanted to contact you.
Lone Mountain Aircraft is the brokerage I work for, where I sell used airplanes. We can also help you acquire a new airplane if that's in the cards for you. We'd be happy to help with anything. And they are based in Ohio. And our salespeople, like myself, are based all over the country. So we mainly broker planes. We keep some inventory here and there, but usually I'm brokering for a seller. So the planes are all over the world that we're selling.
Yeah. And it'd be piston or jets or?
All of it. Yes.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah. My background is Textron Aviation brand stuff, Cessna Beechcraft. So that's what I specialize in. We have folks on our team that are from Cirrus. So that's what they specialize in, from Piper. So we have someone from like kind of every area of knowledge to cover pretty much anything you'd be looking to buy.
Great. Good, good.
Yeah.
Airplane sales up like?
Obviously, over the last 2 years, the market went insane. People wanted to take advantage of their pilot license to travel safely with their families, so that really exploded. And now the market's good. It's softening a little bit, but it's not dropping out, and people are still really excited to go buy an airplane and fly.
Wow, and you're excited to sell them an airplane, right?
Of course.
Well, thank you so much, Mindy, for being with us today. We enjoyed it. It's like my first salesperson in aviation, so thank you so much. This has been Tweet Coleman with Florida Aviation Network. Until we tweet again, safety first.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.